Mr. President?
Yeah.
Mr. Coulson for you. Go ahead, please.
Good morning, Mr. President. Well, anything new before I settle down to finish my press things?
Well, there's been a good bit of political activity in the last 24 hours since we talked, at least. Democrats had quite a day yesterday. I don't know whether you, have you seen this morning's news summary?
Well, I read the paper up here, but I didn't see the summary. I'm not going to bother with it today.
Well, if you...
See, I don't get into that in the press conference anyway.
No. Well, if you read the Washington Post, it bears no resemblance to the networks last night.
Oh, I see.
The,
give me a rundown, briefly.
Sure. NBC and CBS just... I've never seen a more vicious job of cutting into the Democrats. The House Democratic Caucus voted 150 to 50 to oppose any new rules, any more reforms, with the feeling on the Democrats' part that the reforms were hurting the Democratic Party. That's, of course, because only 18 members of Congress are going down there.
Mm-hmm.
And CBS and NBC had just some fantastic film footage. I've just had it rerun because it's so good.
What is on
the Democrats coming out of the caucus. Wayne Hayes said, I'm willing to run on a platform that calls for sweat, blood, and tears, but not one that calls for sex, dope, and queers.
Jesus.
And that, oh,
that quote, I hope we get around.
Oh, Jesus, well, we will. Everybody's talking about it because NBC had him on in living color, and then all the network feeds carried it out. And then they had Annunzio come on, who, of course, is Daly's man, and he said, I don't give a damn what Bella Abzug and all these other people say, and you can quote me on that. The Democratic Party is driving out the ethnics, driving out the farmers, driving out the people that have made the Democratic Party what it is. He was impassioned, shouting at at what's going on with the McGovernites. And then they came on and both of them said, well, the whole Democratic Party will, all the Democratic members of Congress are being advised to run by themselves and to avoid McGovern because his coattails will be a certain defeat. And the cloakroom talk, this was all on the nets last night. We got about 8 minutes of this on NBC and about 4 minutes of it on CBS.
Yeah.
Hell of an impact, Mr. President. That's the kind of thing that...
Yeah.
That's really tough on.
Well, I must say, you're right, though. Neither the Post and the Times, could you find out it? Well, the Times a little, but the Post, I didn't see any of that.
Well, Bob and I were talking this morning, and we said, isn't it amusing? If anybody read the Washington Post, they would think everything was sweetness and light.
Yeah.
And if they watched television, they would think the Democratic Party was being hemorrhaged right up the middle. And
Bob agree?
Oh, yeah, completely. Well, Bob made the point. He said, you watch TV and you... Of course,
that's what I don't think we should get too obsessed with the Post, though. I think the thing to do is to have John Eisenhower's letter go, things like
right.
that. But they aren't going to change, and then I just sort of laugh them out of court.
Well, that's the thing to do, because, I mean...
What's Clausen think of it?
Same thing. I mean, Ken just says ignore it, that Kay Graham is on a vendetta, and that we're just going to be... we'll be misled if we read the Post and think
right.
we're reading what the public is reading.
But that's why I just get to all of our friends here that the Post is wrong. I mean, I think really some subtle attacks on the Post... to Republicans in the House and Senate and the administration might be, what the Post said, what the news is.
Well, we're going all out on the... Bob Dole did that yesterday, Mr. President,
did
pretty
he?
Well. Yeah, he hit the media for papering over McGovern's problems and specifically mentioned the Post. We're going balls out to get that news summary done. I mean, AEI's people were in here yesterday, and if they can...
They can see that it's a marvelous opportunity, can't they?
Oh, it is. It's a great opportunity. And then on the networks last night, McGovern made what I consider to be almost a fatal blunder with on the POW issue. I mean, it's not fatal in the sense that I suppose he can just...
I'd say he didn't mean it, yeah.
He'll say he didn't mean it, but what he said is incredible. And NBC picked it up, and of course it's running on the wires today, where he said that while he was in a meeting with the delegates and alternates from South Carolina, and one of the delegates, William Jones, said to him, "It seems to me, Senator, that what you want to do is give the North Vietnamese everything they want first and then ask them to give us back our boys." Quote, "I'll accept that," McGovern answered. "Jones, you mean you just want to beg?" Quote, McGovern again, "I'll accept that," McGovern replied. "Begging is better than bombing. I would go to Hanoi and beg if I thought that would release them." Jesus Christ.
Are we going to get that?
Oh, yes, sir. We've sent copies of that this morning to all the veterans groups. They'll spew it out for us. We are
thing. I just keep. It's like surrender, you know. I go to Hanoi and beg.
That's right.
And also, Chuck, I haven't seen us do an adequate job of pointing out that 15,000 French were unaccounted for after the war. Has that been done?
Yes, sir. Hugh Scott did that in a briefing out here, and then we took he did it after a leadership meeting, and it was on TV. Then we took Scott's letter and distributed it all over the place.
So are we going to leave it to the mercies of people that where 15,000 brave Frenchmen disappeared?
That's right. We did an article on that.
All right, great.
No, that's
way ahead of me. Okay.
No, that's a good one, and I couldn't conceive during those debates why somebody didn't hit McGovern with that, but he may get hit with that this Sunday because he's on Issues and Answers, and we've primed up some questions. Herb Keplow is one of the interviewers, and think McGovern may...
he may or may not ask anything.
Well, we're hoping, but I think he's going to have a little bit of a tough time. That French analogy is a marvelous one because he hasn't been hit with that yet. He, McGovern, hasn't, although Scott has taken it very well. I had a fascinating visitor last night, Mr.
Incidentally, I didn't know what I suppose the networks both carried our No More Draftee thing, didn't they?
Oh, yes, yes.
That was well handled, I presume?
Yes, Roger Mudd on CBS had it a little bit confused, but it was good. Ziegler had some very tough questioning on the... what about the Naval and Air Force personnel, and what about Thailand? But
entirely different thing.
That's right. But no, it ran very well, and David Brinkley, of all things, gave his whole commentary over to supporting your May 8th peace offer, saying that that this is the best thing that the North Vietnamese can expect, and it's the North Vietnamese who are preventing peace. And
our little boys get so concerned when they raise the question about air and naval forces in Thailand and the rest. That's just bullshit. Don't worry about it.
That's right.
I mean, nobody cares. Nope. I mean, all they care about are the ground boys.
Well, that's true, Mr. President. And more important than the 10,000 people, as I told you, is in my opinion, is the no draftees, because that depersonalizes it. And as soon as mothers know that their kids don't have to go off and go to Vietnam and be shot at, and the kids know that, then if there are 39,000 or there are 50,000 or 60,000, if they want to be there, that's their business. I mean, that really changes the character of it very significantly, and that did play last night very well. I think if you'll have an opportunity to...
Tell, incidentally, just sort of save me a call, get Haig or somebody to... They suppose the question is, how many draftees are in the Air Force and the Naval Forces that are serving out there? What about that? Get my point?
Yes, sir. We'll get you the answer to that and get it up to Buchanan.
No, just leave it there in Washington. I'm going to be back at 2:30.
Oh, all right. Well, we'll have it here for you then.
That's just a very brief answer there.
In the Navy and the Air Force, right?
Yeah.
That's a good...
I think I know the answer, but I think it might be a question somebody might ask.
I think I'll check it. I think I know the answer also, but you probably won't find there any, but we'll have that one for you. I had a very...
Visitor
last night. I got a call from Bill Paley at 5 o'clock, and he said he was in town for a dinner meeting with Joe Alsop, and could he come by and see me? He had something very anxious to talk to me about. I told him I was busy, and he said, well, he'd stay overnight, so then I figured I'll make it easier for him. I'll see him. He came in with a jackass idea about press conferences. He said, I just wanted to be sure to get this idea to the president. Maybe they could have submit written questions in advance so he can think them through better. And,
oh, shit. I don't care about that.
No. But that was only a pretext to come into the office. And then he said to me, I'd like you to get a... after he got over that, which was the first 5 minutes and was just bull. I mean, that was just his excuse for coming in. He said, the president has done a marvelous job, Chuck. He said, I am tremendously impressed with him. And he said, I want him to know that just like in 1960, I am with him all the way. Hmm. And he said, we got talking, and he said, I am scared, and quoting him now, I am scared out of my wits by McGovern.
Good.
And I said, well, Bill, what are you going to do about it? And he said, I'll tell you one thing. He said, I know you fellas think the media are against you, but... he said, to whatever extent I can, they're not going to be. He said, I'm going to see to it. He said, you're going to get more help than you think, because he said, I've talked to editors and broadcasting executives.
Paley is, if he wants to, is a real swinger,
For
Eisenhower, he was all out. For in 60, it was really picked or bat for me, but he didn't do much. Although CBS was much better than NBC in 60.
Yeah, and he said that he came to you with ideas, and of course he gave money. And
so did Stanton.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, he said I will assure you
mention why McGovern scared him? Is it the Israeli thing, for example, that does he know that Israel go down the tube or what?
Two things, Mr. Brown. I gave him the Israeli editorial yesterday, and he read that in full in my office, and he got very excited about it. He said, God, he said, this is it. He said, this fellow is an old-fashioned isolationist. He said, he's dangerous as hell. He wants a redistribution of wealth in the country in a way that this country is just too radical for this country. And I said, well, Bill, honestly, we've been talking the last few days here whether the media would try to clean this fellow up. And he said, no, they will not try to clean him up. He said, you have a very different situation. He said, they're going to remind him of his views, and they're not going to give him an inch. And he said, because most of them, as individuals in the media, he said, I know what you fellows think about the shirt sleeve press, and that's true. Yeah. But he said, at the level I'm at, and others around me, he said, we're very, very concerned that this man is. We want the president reelected. And he said, I want.
You mean not because they're so much for me, but because they're afraid of McGovern?
Well, Paley was trying to tell me it was because he loved you so much. But as you drew him out in the conversation, it was perfectly obvious that he's scared to death on the Israel.
I suppose that the thing that he's for me, he realizes that I won't confiscate him, and he also knows that on the foreign policy issue, much as they regret to admit it, that we're sound.
Exactly. Exactly. And he made these points, and of course he's, as I've told you, every conversation I've ever had with Bill Paley, 10 of them in the last couple of years, it always Israel comes up.
Yeah.
He was having dinner with Joe Alsop last night, and of course Alsop's piece yesterday was magnificent. And Paley just said, well, he said, I just want you to know. He said, I just want you and I want the president to know that I'm ready to do anything I can. I think that's significant, Mr. President, because I didn't seek him out.
We want to handle this is very, very discreetly. We don't want to bitch about every little thing that Rather and the others do. But when there's something big,
call Paley.
Only when it's big.
Yep.
Say, look, we don't care about little things and so forth, but if there's something big and we're really getting destroyed, then we'll say no. We just think this is something worth your consideration. Always in a nice way.
Right. Well, I must say that based on last night's television, at least the NBC and CBS for one night at least, maybe it won't stay, maybe it won't hold.
Really?
Oh, they cut him very hard, Mr. President. And Paul Duke from NBC, who's no friend, said, I've forgotten his lead-in language to the sequence, but he said there was some good news from McGovern today. And he went to the platform challenges, and then he said, but there was also some bad news in terms of a revolt on Capitol Hill, and he called it a revolt, and then he led into this fantastic footage, and he talked about the cloakroom surveys, and he said real revolt building, and then of course Annunzio came on, and then on NBC they had Hayes with that comment, and on CBS they had him with another equally tough comment. It really was quite a night in terms of television impact, and it ran for a hell of a long time. I mean,
incidentally, as I'm sure you know, that having that pot on the ballot in California can be a real asset if we can force this guy to take a position on it. He's likely to say, well, that's a state issue. On the other hand, he's already set his position, and I think we just ought to have ads run all over the country.
Mm-hmm.
The president is against it, because I will say so whenever I'm asked.
Right.
And he is for it. I mean, vote no.
Yeah, I don't think he can get off of that position, because he's been pretty...
Be sure you have a talk with Finch on that and tell him that I want him to hit that every time he's out there.
Finch should hit the
Finch
marijuana. Right.
And then tell Haldeman that he ought to pass that to Reagan so that Reagan's people can knock it.
Mm-hmm.
Or out to, we've got our own fellow out there. What's his name?
Nofziger.
Just tell Nofziger to get it just pounded all over the place. Nixon is against this thing, and therefore, that one issue could lick him.
Of course, that'll bring out some of the young people, too, which is, of course, the young people who will come out on that are ones that would vote for McGovern anyway.
Oh, listen, and I don't think, I mean, I think on that, it's about a dead heat anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think that more than 50% of young people are for legalizing pot.
I agree. I think that's right.
And it's overwhelming in the country against it, you know. It's about 70%, isn't it?
Oh, God, yes. The polls are way up on that. It's higher than...
But anyway, that's a very powerful point. I suppose from our standpoint, that was certainly unfortunate to have New Jersey get screwed up. I mean, of course, Republicans are... It's a Republican attorney general in the state and a Republican U.S. attorney that are prosecuting them. But Jesus Christ, I don't know what the hell's...
It sure didn't sound to me like they had a much of a case on this fellow, but they must have more than appeared in the newspapers. It's a damn shame as far as Cahill's concerned.
Well, that's our concern.
Because he's our man. Cahill is our man up there, so it
rubs off. But, of course, it's coming. Let's see, this is 4 months before. I don't know.
Well, that could continue to be could stew around a bit, but that's not...
Cahill's just got to be above it and say, we're not going to allow any of this hanky-panky or whatever the hell it was.
Well, he apparently stood up for his guy. He made a very strong statement saying that he didn't think his man had done anything wrong and thought he would be acquitted.
What was it, a contribution to the party, apparently?
Apparently what it is, they tried to influence a paving contract to go to someone who had made a contribution to the Republican Party, but they didn't succeed. I mean, it wasn't even as if they...
Kind of like a small ITT.
but...
Didn't get anything out of it.
No. I mean, it was just... of course, the news stories may not be complete, but that's the way it reads, at least. And maybe that's...
Well, I must say that I am somewhat reassured, at least. What did Bob think? Did that reassure him a little? You know, Bob and I are the two cynics on this, but...
Well, you should be.
We went through hell in 60 and 68.
You should be cynical, and you should be skeptical, and you should push us hard, but being very realistic, Mr. President, and I wouldn't repeat this, that kind of thing last night had a whale of an impact. Bob had not seen it, but he read the news summary stuff and was very impressed with
it. What Clausen think of it?
Devastating, and Clark McGregor said he'd never seen anything like it in politics. He said he was just, couldn't believe it when he watched it. He said it was just brutal to see it, because Annunzio came on there and
I intend, incidentally, tonight to be very much above the battle. I'm not going to... You know, of course, I'm going to avoid all political questions, and I'm just not going to get dragged into any fight with the press about why I don't have news conferences. I'm just going to do it in gentleness, say, well, I know you have your views, I have mine. What really counts is whether I do a good job, not how many press conferences I have, and the people can decide in November. Don't you think that's the best way to do it?
Absolutely. I would. The most important thing you can do tonight, Mr. President, because I think you'll have a large audience, not having had one for a while, and I think the most important thing to do is to brush off just as casually and nicely but quickly is get rid of in a hurry any question that doesn't help you make a point you want to make tonight. And
if you can, yeah.
A discussion that...
We'll be pressed on things like Lavelle, even though I've already answered it, and bombing, and so forth, but I've got some pretty good answers on that.
I'm sure you do, and I...
People want North Vietnam bombed as long as they have our prisoners.
That's right. I think, I have no question about that, and I think that's the kind of thing that you can say, well, we've made the most forthcoming peace proposal, we're going to get our prisoners back, by God. But I think any questions about press conferences, people don't give a damn about that outside of this city.
I'm not worried about it, after all this is two weeks, they will... What do they got to complain about?
That's right. Also, Mr. President, the people are seeing a lot of Democratic quibbling. Last night on both of the networks, all three networks, they had the challenges to the Daley delegation. They had Daley on. He was madder than hell at the challenge. And they had the challengers on saying, we've been spit at. And they look kind of angry, fiery-eyed people. And I don't know. I just think my gut feeling is that the country... can get awful sick of watching that.
Buchanan has, incidentally, did you read his memorandum? Well, I sent it off to you.
You mean on the McGovern?
Well, this is a response to something I had said in a news summary, just a two-pager.
Oh, no.
And I sent it around to you and home. You get it tomorrow, probably.
Right.
Anyway, Buchanan doesn't think that the convention is going to be all that smooth. He disagrees with mine and Haldeman's thesis that they'll paper it all over, but... He may be right.
Of course, I disagree on that also. I think they've got problems that they... Wallace is going to give them fits. And,
how do you figure that goes with that? I suppose that's our big concern. Don't you really think that this may be just a plot between the smart McGovern people, that they're getting Wallace down there, and then they're going to make it so rough that he walks out and goes third party? That's the fear I have.
Well, I think that's the fear I have, and that... There, I am a cynic and a skeptic, and on the other, I'm an optimist.
Isn't a column written to that effect that he intends to do that?
That would be a good idea if we could get that thought planted. Now, Wallace's people yesterday said that he is going to the convention and that he is going to make his case, and that he will not, under any set of circumstances, no matter what they do to him, bolt the convention.
Hmm.
That is kind of significant.
Well, I hope that's true.
He was then asked, Snyder was then asked, well, does this mean that you are ruling out a third party? And he said, we're not ruling anything out. We're simply saying that we will not bolt the Democratic convention, and that's a pledge. So,
suppose that's the position they have to take now, isn't it?
I would think he would have to take it now, but I also think it would be then a little tough for him, frankly, to walk out in a huff. He might retreat from it afterwards and decide, well, the Democrats won't do what I want, therefore I'm going to run. On the other hand, it gives him another problem, Mr. President, and that is that the two issues that he has now taken objection to in the Democratic platform, busing and national defense, he can't say we're not doing those things. In other words, he can't say that his position really differs from ours, because he doesn't on those two planks. And all he can do is say the Democrats are no good on those two issues. But I wonder if he can say I have to run because otherwise the public won't have any
choice.
That's a little that's an added step that he has to go through. So I don't know. I have to admit that I can't figure it out. There has been no activity anywhere in the country, in any state, to organize for Wallace or qualify him. There is time left, but it's running, and there are now eight or nine. I've got a current list coming up, but I think eight or nine states he's out of. In Kansas, the Conservative Party put him on their line on the ballot.
That makes no difference.
But it makes no difference at all, and it isn't him. I mean, they put him on the Conservative Party, so it isn't the AIP. And it just seems to me that he would...
The question is basically the southern states... take Alabama. If he's on there, well, we could still, I mean, some believe we could win states like Alabama, Mississippi, and Louisiana, and Georgia, even with him on. Is that correct?
A hell of a lot of people do. Lou Harris does, among others. Yeah. Lou says you, in a three-way race, you win in those states, except Alabama. He says you win in Georgia, Mississippi, Louisiana, and Arkansas. Georgia, he's off the ballot, Mr. President, and it would take an act of the legislature.
That's a very important state.
Yeah. Well, I think that's one where the law is fairly clear, and it's not even subject to a court challenge there. The only thing that they could do there, I think, would be to try to convene the legislature, and I doubt that they'll do that. Bob was very impressed with the photo of McGovern kissing Coretta King. I don't know whether you saw that, but Parliament seemed to think that would have a...
Well,
seemed to have a hell of a...
Or wearing this cheek, or...
He's kissing her on the cheek, but even so... Bob said that his feeling is that'll sour a lot of people when they look at it. Of course, he's been saying all the wrong things in the South. He's been talking about races getting together. The races getting together, you know, that's the one thing that scares a hell of a lot of people. I can't believe that he's being serious about the South. I mean, there isn't anybody down there who's for him, other than his own radical French and the kids and some blacks, perhaps.
Third of them.
But the Wallace thing is a mystery. I can't quite figure it, really. I don't know why he goes to the convention, and maybe he wants the national visibility. Maybe he thinks he can influence the platform, but I don't think he's an idealist. I think he's a self-seeking, very, very crass individual. I can't imagine him caring about the goddamn platform. He cares about George Wallace, period. But I just don't see how physically he could wage the campaign. And he's got an awful lot of catch-up work to do in a lot of states if he's going to do it. And it doesn't seem to me that even though he has the popular, he's done well in the primaries on the popular vote, he doesn't have the burning issue of, he doesn't have any burning issue that we haven't already co-opted in a sense. I mean, he can talk about tax reform.
Tax reform.
And I guess he can talk about the briefcase-carrying bureaucrats, and that's a little tough because there are bureaucrats in some respects. But really, in the gut issue, busing, I think you've taken that away from him. I don't think he can.
That one he can't do much with us on that.
No, because I think we got a hell of an argument with people that if you really want to do something about busing, keep a man in the White House who's doing it, right. Not a fellow who's just a protest. I mean. Vote for action, not for a protest. And I think we could make that stick.
Good.
We're making very steady progress on the Democrats for Nixon operations, President. We've now got some people who are going to be we'll be ready with endorsements after the convention, and we'll be ready to put a formal organization together as soon as Conley gets back. We can't.
Yeah.
We don't want to jump the gun on John on that. But,
yeah. Yeah.
I've got a great young fellow. Do you remember that young lad I brought into you who was just back from Vietnam who debated John Kerry?
Yeah.
John O'Neill, who's going to come up and work for us, running. He's a sophomore in law, freshman in law school. He's going to first year in law school.
And he's a Democrat.
He's a Democrat from Texas, and but lived in Massachusetts. He sounds like John Kennedy and looks a little like him. He's going to organize young Democrats for Nixon.
Great.
So
we great.
No, we'll get some good people moving, and I think it's. I brought down Rizzo's campaign manager, who's going to work with us. And Rizzo, of course, is ready to go when we, whenever we tell him, as you know. And we have his man now on board, who will be working with us through the next month, getting this lined up. So this is beginning to fall into place. We're beginning to get some action.
Okay, Chuck. We'll, I'm off to California tomorrow. I hope that they get through with that.
Well, I hope they get. I hope they let you. Hope the damn Congress doesn't hold you up, Mr. President.
Well, they won't. Yeah, I don't think they'll hold past Saturday, do you?
No, no, I don't see it.
Well, I can't see those guys staying here till the following Friday, because that's what, if they don't get out of here Saturday, you know, they got the 4th of July weekend.
That's right.
They won't be in then.
Nope.
And will they?
No, I don't think so. No, I'm sure not. You know what happens up there. I listened to Clark this morning talk about, well, we can't get this through and we can't get that through. You know, when they get that fever of wanting to get out of there, that's that runs through that place and they can't get a quorum in the House. That's what will happen tomorrow afternoon. So my own feeling is that they'll fold up. I don't see them hanging in there. I think Saturday is
there. We can't fold without the debt limit, unfortunately, can we?
That's right. Well, they'll have to act on it, and it may force their hand.
Let's hope so, huh?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. President.